Jesus Loves the Little Babies, a new fully illustrated children's book teaching God's heart for preborn children by Seraphim. Now available at www.godloveswomen.com. That is www.godloveswomen.com.
Oh, Sovereign Lord, oh, save us, O Lord, for the God-fearing men cease from upon the earth, and the presence of the saints seems to vanish away. Save us, O God. Save us from the tongues of evil men. They speak with flattering lips. O Lord, their lips are proud and boastful. They say, our lips are our own, and who will rule over us? But Lord, your word alone is true. Your word is pure. It is like silver refined in the fire 7 times. And so we pray that you would now arise for the sake of your afflicted ones, your persecuted ones. O Lord, arise. Rend the heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Bring your children into the salvation for which we yearn. O Lord, there are terrors upon the earth when the profane and the ungodly rule the nations. But we pray that you would send the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would come on the white horse with all of the saints of heaven riding on their white horses, and that he would dash the nations to pieces like pottery and rule them with an iron scepter. Oh, how we long, oh Father, to see the kingdom of your Son come in its fullness on earth as it is in heaven. Oh Father, we draw near to you with all of our fears, and in our great weakness, and we pour out our tears before your throne. And I pray, Holy Father, that you would bless these, your children. I pray that the risen Lord Jesus would place his hands upon each one of these precious sheep and bless them with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, it has been 5 years, 7 months, and 18 days since we first began going through the Gospel of Luke together. And 156 sermons later, after, if you think back in your life to the last 5 years, 7 months, and 18 days, just what the Lord, what has happened in your life, after enormous amounts of suffering, by the sheer grace of God, we arrived this morning at the last passage. This is the final passage of the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 24, verses 49 through 53. This is the word of the Lord. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. God, who is forever to be praised, has sent His promise upon us. The Lord, who is triune, promised from ages past to pour out His Holy Spirit in the last days upon His children who fear Him. He gave this promise through the prophets, who prophesied of a coming new covenant, a glorious covenant both of water and of the Spirit, in which the Lord would cleanse us, His elect, with the waters of repentance, and would take the heart of stone out of our flesh and give us a heart of flesh, and thus put His Holy Spirit in us and cause us to walk in His statutes, so that we would keep His judgments and do them. The promise of the Holy Spirit, then, is one of the greatest promises ever given by God to men. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all of the promises of Moses and of the prophets. All of the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in Christ are amen. Therefore, what the Lord has promised, Jesus Christ now fulfills. He says to His disciples, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." And the blessed promise, which is the sending of the Holy Spirit upon God's holy seed, was indeed prophesied long ago. For all of those who would repent of their sinful ways and turn at God's rebuke, this promise was given. Isaiah 32:14-15. Because the palaces will be forsaken, the bustling city will be deserted, the forts and towers will become lairs forever, a joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. And Isaiah 44:2-3, Thus says the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. And again, Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 27 through 29, and I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. The prophets of Israel prophesied many wonderful things. They prophesied of the rise and fall of kingdoms, and the restoration of the Jews to the land of Israel, and the coming of the kingdom of God and of His Christ. Yet to the desperate sinner, seeking the Lord and searching for a way to be reconciled to God, there was no greater promise given by the prophets than the gospel of Christ's coming sufferings and subsequent resurrection from the grave, and also of the sending of the Holy Spirit upon all of those who would believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Joel, the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. God, who never lies, has fulfilled this great promise in these last days. He has sent His promise, His Holy Spirit, pouring out His Spirit upon the heads of the apostles on the day of Pentecost with a great sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, such that divided tongues as a fire sat upon each of them. For this is how the blessing of Abraham has come upon the Gentiles, namely, since they have, according to Galatians 3:14, received the promise of the Spirit through faith. We then, because we are in Christ, are heirs of this promise, since we have been, according to Ephesians 1:13, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. For the Holy Spirit, who saves us through the washing of regeneration and through renewing us in Him, is He whom God has, according to Titus 3:5-6, poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And so we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, only by knowing that, this is 1 John 4:13, He has given us of His Spirit. The Lord has promised, and the Lord has fulfilled. For His promise, which is His Holy Spirit, has been poured out abundantly on the church of the redeemed. Acts 2:33, therefore being exalted, this is Peter preaching, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured out this which you now see and hear. Oh, dear brethren, it is such a dreadful thing to neglect the promise of our Father in heaven, to ignore the glory of the gift of the Holy Spirit, is a tremendous sin. For the giving of the Holy Spirit, such that He has poured out upon all of the redeemed of God, is an indescribable gift. It is divine light given to those who once walked in darkness and spiritual legs given to those who were once spiritually lame, and power over sin poured out upon those who were once captives to sin, and living water flowing in the hearts of those who were once dying of spiritual thirst, and a resurrection of eternal life granted to those who were once dead in their trespasses. Without the Spirit of Christ, we must needs cry, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." And yet once the Spirit of life is poured out upon us, we find comfort and hope in all things, even in our deepest afflictions. The Holy Spirit of promise is all of life and breath to us, for He alone reveals to us the deep things of God. Therefore, not walking in the doctrines of the Pentecostal teachers who blaspheme the Holy Spirit by using His name for wealth and fame, we instead treasure the Holy Spirit as our advocate and our God. Fearing Him, we seek to walk in step with Him. Not wanting to grieve Him, we pray to the Father to keep us from sin, and then to fill us with more of Him. As faithful children, fully dependent upon the promise of the Father, we pray in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit, so that we may glorify God in the Spirit by testifying to the divine majesty of Christ, even testifying in the Spirit. And so we exclaim as God's children, "O heavenly gift! O divine promise! O wondrous comforter! How we praise You, Holy Father, for the wonder of the mystery of the glory of the gift of Your promise, whom You have poured out upon us who love You and who fear Your name, even the gift of Your promised Holy Spirit." Yet here at the very end of the Gospel according to Luke, the fullness of the promise has not yet been given. The Lord Jesus is raised from the dead, but the apostles must wait patiently for the Father to send His promise upon them. It shall come upon them, but they first must wait, even tarrying in Jerusalem for it. Luke 24:49. "Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed with power from on high." The apostles have a great commission indeed. The Lord has commanded them to preach repentance and remission of sins in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Yet such a commission cannot be fulfilled in their own power. If they were to attempt it in their own strength, they would falter and perish in a flash of failure and of defeat. And therefore, the risen Christ now commands them to wait for the power from on high that will be granted them to them for this commission through the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." O precious Christian, you must have God's power from on high in order to overcome the evil one. For your battle is not against flesh and blood, And you fight not with the weapons of the flesh, but instead you pull down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, since you know that all disobedience will be punished by God when your obedience is fulfilled. But how are you able to do these things? Who is sufficient for these things? They are impossible apart from God's own might at work in you, which is the power of the Holy Spirit sent upon you from on high. Therefore, O precious Christian, do not venture out into the battle too quickly. Do not hastily pursue a mission for which you have not yet been empowered by the Father in heaven. Instead, go and commit yourself to prayer. Tarry many days, or even years, if it is the Father's will, in waiting prayer. Wait patiently until you are endued with power from on high. Ask the Father to endue you with power from on high, for without the power of the Spirit of Christ, you can accomplish no lasting heavenly work. The apostles then must tarry in Jerusalem. They must not go out into Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth until they receive this power from on high. And yet the Lord, who has promised, is faithful. He does pour out His power upon them through the Holy Spirit. They do indeed find that the risen Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth because He sends His Holy Spirit's power upon them. And so their evangelistic witness then becomes able to defeat any and all enemies who oppose their message. They see it fulfilled. Acts 4:33. And with great power, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And again, Acts 6, verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And Acts 19, 11 through 12, and now God worked unusual miracles. Miracles of power by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And yet again, Romans 15, 18 through 19, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so the great apostle says of this power from on high, by which power alone he is enabled to evangelize the Gentiles, he says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. How shall Rome be subjugated, at least in name, to the gospel of Christ within a span of a mere 3 centuries? How shall Patrick conquer vast swaths of Ireland with the gospel of the Lord Jesus? How shall emperors be moved to bow their knees and mere peasants be made to stride forth with the boldness of kings in order to proclaim the lordship of Jesus to the heathen. None of this is possible without the power of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the children of the gospel. And yet it will not come apart from great suffering. The Pentecostal teachers today twist the doctrine of the Holy Spirit in sinister ways because they do not want to suffer persecution for the sake of the cross of Christ. But the true doctrine of the Holy Spirit is one that teaches the power of the Spirit coming upon God's children to bear witness unto the eternal gospel of God in the midst of severe sufferings. And so we abound in hope through severe sufferings by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we imitate the apostles. This is 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. In being hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. And we suffer all of these things in our weak earthen vessels so that, here's 2 Corinthians 4, 7, the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And this is why our Lord Jesus says to us in the midst of our great sufferings in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And why we hear in that same passage the blessed Paul saying, in the midst of his incomparable sufferings, therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. We then follow Paul in learning to suffer well for the sake of the gospel of Christ, so that we might know the power of the Holy Spirit bearing witness to the world through our sufferings. 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 8, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. O Christian, are you weak in the body? Does this day find you grieving and mourning? Are you wounded by the persecuting tongues of men? Does your heart, as Tyndale once described it, bleed inwardly? Do you feel yourself dying daily? Have the sorrows of the cross come upon you full force? O Christian, if you are suffering for the sake of righteousness, this is not weakness. Rather, this is power. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And therefore, though the world has clothed you in poverty and weakness, the Spirit from on high has clothed you in power. Christ is being glorified through your suffering witness. Those precious souls who have heard Christ's word through your suffering witness will rise up at the last day and bless you for it. Heaven, dear Christian, shall reveal it. The Lord Jesus is about to send the promise of the Father, the blessed Spirit of power, upon His disciples. And yet He is about to depart from them. And so there is the prospect of great sorrow, since they will not see Him again in the body until they see Him in paradise. Luke 24:50-51, and He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while He blessed them, that He was parted from them and carried up to heaven. There is a sharp sorrow in these divine words. He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. For Christ, this is ascension and victory. Yet for the disciples, this is an unwanted parting, and so a stinging bereavement. Have you considered, O church, that when Enoch was caught up into heaven to be with God, his son and his grandson must have mourned for him? Both Methuselah, his beloved son, and Lamech, Enoch's beloved grandson, were living when Enoch was taken up into heaven by God. And so even as Enoch's rapture was victorious, for he walked with God, it must have caused much grief and mourning for his son and for his grandson. They rejoiced, of course, in their father's and their grandfather's spiritual blessing from God, but they must have wept over his absence because they longed to be with him. Similarly, Elisha the prophet rejoiced in the victory of Elijah, his spiritual father, being caught up to God in a whirlwind in a chariot of fire. Yet Elisha was separated from Elijah by this event, and so he also grieved and mourned on account of him. 2 Kings 2:11-12. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Timothy, then, the spiritual son of the Apostle Paul, must have felt conflicted too. On the one hand, he knew that Paul himself always said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Therefore, Paul's departure to heaven was a blessing of unspeakable reward to Paul, for Paul. But for Timothy, this meant a separation, a departure. And so Timothy must have wept as he read these precious words which Paul himself wrote directly to him in 2 Timothy 4:6-8. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." How great then is the sting of the disciples' sorrow now that they see the Lord Jesus parted from them and carried up into heaven. For their Lord and their God is no longer beside them in the body as He had been previously. Yet this great sorrow is also for their great comfort, since by His departure the Lord Jesus is now able to send the promised Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to them. John 16:5-7. But now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. The comfort of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, then is far greater than the sorrow that the disciples feel in having seen the Lord depart from them and ascend back into heaven. God does wound us, but His acts of wounding us are infinitely wise. They are only designed to bring us everlasting healing and comfort. Oh, great hope! Oh, divine comfort! The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has been sent to comfort us. And if Christ ascended in the body, then shall He not descend once again at the end of the age in the body? Acts 1:9-11. Now when He had spoken these things while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. The departure of Christ, then, is both our great sorrow and our great comfort. We are sorrowful because the Bridegroom has been taken from us, and so we fast and pray for Him to return to us. Yet we are also filled with comfort. For His ascent in the body is a glorious prophecy of His coming descent in the body. That is, even as He ascended in the body, all the way up to the right hand of the Father, in order to proclaim His Godhood and Lordship over all of heaven and earth, such that every principality and might and power and dominion, both on earth and in the heavenly realms, including every name that is named, is subdued under His authority, so too shall He return in the body to exercise that authority over the whole earth. And therefore His ascension comforts us with the unbreakable promise of His coming descension in glory to judge the living and the dead. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And 2 Thessalonians 1:6-8, Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Revelation 22:12, And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Yet before he departs, he blesses them. The Lord Jesus loves his disciples. And so before he ascends and is taken up from them, he blesses them. Luke 24, verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Is this not what we crave the most? Is not our greatest desire to know that God is pleased with us and so is willing to bless us as his faithful servants? Jacob's hip was deeply wounded in his wrestling match with God. Yet Jacob would not let go of the Lord, but instead clung to him until he would bless him. In a hurt, whimpering, repentant voice, with the humility of a little child, Jacob pled with the Lord to bless him. Genesis 32, 26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Before a loving and God-fearing father must depart, he always blesses those children who know and fear the Lord. And so Jacob blessed his son Joseph before Jacob died. Genesis 49, 26. Jacob is blessing Joseph. "The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who is separate from his brothers." He was separate from his brothers. Likewise, Moses, the spiritual father of the people of Israel, blessed the people before he died and was taken from them. Deuteronomy 33, verse 1. "Now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Yet if the blessings of these men in their dying days, given to their spiritual offspring, if these blessings were great, how much greater is the blessing of Christ given to his disciples prior to his departure and ascension?" And so it is written in Luke 24:50, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." Oh, how we long for this blessing from Christ our Lord. We long for it as little children do, longing for their father to place his gentle hands upon their heads and bless them. For to have Christ Jesus our Lord bless us is the greatest blessing that one could ever know. For the blessing of Christ is the blessing of the Most High God. And yet we warn the wicked that they will not inherit this blessing. For Esau, Jacob's brother, traded the blessing of Christ for his fleshly lusts, even for a pot of stew, and afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. And so we warn all of those who are outside of Christ, even if they falsely claim to be found in him, that if they reject the blood of the Lamb shed for their sins in favor of the love of the world, and so scorn holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, then they shall never have any of the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms that are found only in Christ. Instead, they shall seek God's blessings with tears when they find themselves shut out of the kingdom of heaven and enclosed within the walls of everlasting fires and torments in Hades, but they shall not find a single one of God's blessings there. And so there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell forever and ever. However, for those who know Christ truly, since they are truly known by Christ, there are blessings unspeakable and indescribable awaiting them in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 25:34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And how shall we respond to the blessings of such a gracious Lord who is willing to bless us, even us, His unworthy servants? We shall respond by blessing Him who has first blessed us. We shall worship Him who has created us and has saved us. Luke 24:52-53. This is the final response of the disciples to the blessings of Christ. Luke 24:52-53. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Whom did they worship? They worshipped Christ Jesus, risen in the body. He then is not an angelic being. For the holy angels of God are not to be worshipped, but rather Christ alone is to be worshipped. Revelation 19:10, and I fell at His, this is the angel's feet, to worship Him. But He said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Again, if any man says that Jesus is of an angelic nature and not fully God, let that man be anathema, be accursed. For Christ is worshipped by the apostles, even as He alone is worshipped by the angels, since He is very God, a very God." Revelation 22:9, then He said to me, "See that you do not do that." This is the angel speaking, "For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." Worship God. Oh dear brethren, is this not the end for which we endure all of our suffering and all of our travail? Is not the blessing of God the Father and the worship of Christ the Son of God our great and final end? Do we not long to see God? Do we not yearn to bless His name in the presence of His holy throne in the eternal courts of heaven? So then, we must worship Christ. For when we worship the Lamb who was slain, then we know God and worship Him and bless the holy majesty of His name. And so we shout unto the end of our days and our very last breath on earth, "Worship God! Worship Christ! For the Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. And thus we shall glorify Him who sits upon the throne, and glorify the Lamb, together with all of the holy angels and the 24 elders and all of the saints. Time everlasting. Worship unceasing. World without end. Amen. So as we now return to this precious table of the Lord, and this morning we come worshiping Christ. We worship Christ crucified, and Christ risen from the dead, and Christ ascended into heaven, and Christ who shall return in glory. Before we come, here is the doxology. Praise be to God our Father, who has sent His promise, the blessed Holy Spirit, upon all of the elect in these last days. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ, who places His hands upon His beloved children and blesses them. And praise be to the Holy Spirit, who alone is our power for ministry, and also our helper and our comforter, until Christ returns. Amen.